Get ready to dive into the whirlwind world of America's sweetheart, Taylor Swift. Join us on the podcast, Taylor Swift Today, for your dose of all things Tay-Tay. From all the scoop on her highly anticipated album, The Tortured Poets Department, to the latest gossip, tours, and more, it's time to shake off the haters and embrace the enchanting universe of Taylor Swift. Follow Taylor Swift Today, your ultimate Swift-obsessed podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
I've been trying to figure out how to tackle this. This is a really long article in the Hollywood Reporter. The title, Jim Belushi on the pain of Brother John's death and his new chapter as a cannabis farmer. The theme here is that Jim has left show business to grow cannabis. Jim purchased 15 acres of riverfront property in Eagle Point for the bargain price of $725,000. There, he built himself a rustic cottage out of reclaimed wood and developed the property around it. He refurbished a stage on the grounds where he and close friend Danny Aykroyd had performed for local charities as the Blues Brothers. Jim's Oregon neighbor died, and suddenly 8 lush acres of prime farmland opened up. So Jim bought that too, and then he had to figure out what to grow. Belushi said, "There's a line between Napa and about 20 miles above me that's a latitudinal parallel. They say that God on the seventh day dragged his hand along that parallel all the way from Napa and southern Oregon through the groves and cornfields of Illinois all the way to Bordeaux and Burgundy. That parallel just has the perfect sun, soil, temperatures, and water." Belushi considered a variety of crops, everything from hay to soybeans. But on July 1st, 2015, Measure 91 was signed into law, legalizing the non-medical cultivation and use of marijuana in Oregon. The result was a green gold rush. Belushi decided to grow his own cannabis crops and documented the entire enterprise on film. It's a Discovery documentary called Growing Belushi. He's not a pot smoker himself. He hasn't touched it since high school, and it caught his friends and family off guard. One of those friends, Rob Lowe, who said, "I couldn't wrap my head around it first. I slipped into a southern accent there, and I'm from Queens, New York. I don't know what happened there. Rob Lowe doesn't sound like that. I'm leaving it in. I couldn't wrap my head around it at first. Jimmy is always looking for a new adventure." 5 years later, Belushi has pivoted away from Hollywood to focus the majority of his time and energy on growing marijuana on Belushi's farm. Jim says, "I've done it. I've raised my kids there, went to all the premieres, I went to award shows, I've been to Tuscana 1,600 times. I have a grateful feeling for the life I had there. I'm just moving on to a kind of new reinvention." He sold his homes. He hasn't done any real acting since the Jim Belushi show ended. The Hollywood Reporter says that sitcom was not a happy set, according to several well-placed sources who say Belushi indulged in control freak behavior that increased as the show grew more valuable to ABC. Jim says, "I have high standards and a high work ethic. You could probably say I should have delivered the message differently." He says he personally called every writer and co-star Courtney Thorne Smith after production to make amends. "I apologize for my brashness in delivering the message." All right, I briefly, like really briefly, worked on a project or two with Jim Belushi. I found him to be super cool. Didn't see any of that control freak stuff at all. Now, he's apparently saying that he did get a little like that when I encountered him. He was super cool. And I've told the story on the podcast before that I mistakenly woke him up one morning because I thought I was calling his office and I had his cell phone number and he was 3 time zones behind me and he played it off and he was totally cool about it. And I appreciate that, Jim Belushi. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing? Now, a week ago, I was feeling great. I was feeling kind of refreshed. This week, kind of worn down a little bit. I had to go see a bunch of people, been running around. You know, sometimes you just want to sit in the chair and watch some television, right? It could be easy to ignore your social battery. You spread yourself too thin. I kind of did that last week. But like, it was good for me. You know, I want to see my friends, but I'm human. So I both want to see my friends, but I also just want to sit in the chair and watch some TV. You know what I'm saying? What's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Do you thrive around people or maybe you need some alone time? For me this week, it's alone time. Well, therapy can help give you the self-awareness to build a social life that does not drain your battery. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's online. The design, awesome. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, suited to your schedule. What you do is you fill out a brief questionnaire. They'll match you with a licensed therapist. And, you know, if for some reason you and the therapist are like, you know, I'm not feeling it, you know, you can switch. No additional charge. You just switch. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/DCN today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DCN. Visit BetterHelp.com/DCN today. Get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DCN. Churchill's batteries. Rob Lowe doesn't think that he's done with show business. Lowe says, you know what I think? I think anytime someone finds substance and fulfillment outside of showing up on a movie and TV set, people say, they're done with Hollywood. But I think you can have both. The article then transitions to talking about Jim's brother, John. The brothers grew up in the Chicago suburbs. Their father had worked his way up from valet parker to busboy to bartender and eventually opened a restaurant with his brother. Jim says, you know the cheeseburger place? That was my dad's place, the Olympia Lunch, and he built it all the way up to a steakhouse. Jim was 16 when he first saw his brother perform in Second City, Chicago. For the next 8 years, all I wanted to do was perform in Second City because it was magic. I auditioned, I got in, I called John, I said, hey man, I just got into Second City. There was a long pause, and he goes, I thought you were more like a drama guy. John Belushi eventually accepted that Jim would follow in his footsteps and mostly left him to find his own way. He would occasionally dole out some advice like, stick around at the after parties just long enough to say hi to the bosses. And he helped Jim by showing the possibilities we could have in this little immigrant family. If it wasn't for John, I'd be serving dinner tonight at my dad's restaurant. One night, John Belushi took his 21-year-old brother, Jim, with him to the local Russian baths. Jim says the steam's coming through the pipes and a guy comes with a bucket full of soap and starts smacking me with a bunch of oak leaves. Then John puts me in a cold shower and I'm just standing there naked. He takes some shampoo and washes my hair. That moment to me was like, this guy loves me. Later that night, the brothers went to a Sam Goody record shop. John talks to the manager. The manager calls his account. And the next thing you know, he says, you've got 10 minutes of every album you've ever wanted. I got Hendrix's Cry of Love, All the Doors, Keith Jarrett. I had a box to carry them out. Hollywood Reporter says, if you ask Belushi where he was when he learned of John's death, he describes it as if it happened a few days ago. Jim said, I was in the middle of a voice lesson at the Schubert Theater in Chicago. I was doing Pirates of Penzance, and a guy in the box office was listening to the radio, and he came backstage and he told me he heard it, and I thought it was just some joke he and Danny were doing. I went to the box office, I called WBBM Radio, and the guy said, I'm sorry, Jim. He read it from the AP report, and that's how I found out, and I went and did the show that night. Jim says, unlike his brother, he was never much of a party boy. I never got high or drunk. I didn't want anything getting in the way of my work. And he still isn't a weed smoker, but he does partake of his product. He likes to eat pot-infused chocolates containing 2.5 milligrams of active ingredient. Really lightweight. Most people take 5 because 5 is described as a warm hug. Fascinating, fascinating article. You'll find it in the Hollywood Reporter. It was in the August 19th issue, and it's online. Jim Belushi. Like I said, worked with him once, found him to be a cool guy. That's your daily comedy news for today. I'm glad I did that. I didn't know how to tackle it because it was so long. Hope you found it as interesting as I did. Catch you tomorrow.
On the next The Top 11 podcast, we embark on a culinary journey across the globe as we explore the top 11 traditional dishes from around the world. From the comforting moussaka of Greece to the aromatic pho of Vietnam, we discover the dishes that have become synonymous with their countries of origin. We delve into the simplicity and magnificence of Italy's pizza Napoletana, the precision and aesthetics of Japan's sushi, and the warmth and welcoming spirit of Canada's poutine. Follow The Top 11 wherever you get your podcasts.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky?
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.